Welcome to the first episode of Local Gov Life from ICMA. I'm your host, Rob Carty. This monthly podcast focuses on a topic of interest to local government and takes it for a spin, with several segments that share fresh approaches and new ideas that you can apply to your life and your community. This month, we take an in-depth look at volunteering, how local leaders attract and manage volunteers to help deliver services and provide expertise. We'll also find out why a busy city manager always makes time to volunteer, no matter what else is on his plate. The inspiration for this month's theme came from a feature article in the June issue of ICMA's PM Magazine. Ed LaValle is the city manager of Venice, Florida, but his experience engaging volunteers began back in Newport, Rhode Island. Ed tells us how resort cities like Newport and Venice host hundreds of events and how volunteers are the key to their success.
Special events is a great platform to get volunteers involved to do something specific so they can identify a task, they can organize, and they can work in collaboration with social groups or the city government to achieve a specific outcome.
Ed went on to explain how these volunteers benefit their community and how the community benefits the volunteers.
First thing that we accomplish with use of volunteers in any activity is cost savings, as managers are constantly challenged to deliver high quality government service at an affordable price. And here's a valuable tool that is underutilized, opportunity to use volunteer work that the city or town might otherwise have to pay for. So in balancing our budget, we incorporate the use of volunteer work, civic commitment to help serve the community's needs. So from a budgetary standpoint, absolutely, and a financial impact. That's sort of the narrower sense, but in the broader sense, maybe more importantly, engaging citizens and working on issues and projects in the community that they love breeds this powerful sense of ownership and loyalty. And one of the things that managers look for when they're developing their budgets is something that's sustainable and returnable and predictable. And there is nothing that's more sustainable than establishing a fabric of volunteerism in a community.
Check out the June issue of PM Magazine to get the rest of Ed's story. John Stevens is an associate professor of public administration and government at the University of North Carolina, where his research focuses on public participation and government IT. He's also a part of a local volunteer assistance group that serves the city of Durham, North Carolina, a group that helped found the organization Code for Durham, whose mission is to make Durham a better place to live, work, and play through technology. With Code for Durham, John helped create something called Civic Technology. John explains.
Civic technology combines the what of many forms of e-government or ways to use online tools with how it's produced, which is slightly different than strictly government control. So the what is clearly something that's going to be for the public service, for the broader civic good. So certainly it fits a lot of the mission of local government. But civic technology is more as much as about the how. Who's involved, and that can involve using open data with volunteers or small businesses in more of a collaboration between government, interested citizens, and sometimes small business as well. So open data, open source code for how the technology is developed makes it truly civic technology.
But not all communities have the IT expertise or budget needed to develop these apps and programs. That's where the local brigades come in.
These local brigades, that's the term used by the national nonprofit Code for America, brings people of different kinds of IT expertise, people who do web design or graphic art. Secondly, people who have skills in database development and management. And third, programmers who can put it all together. I'm also in a different category, simply an interested community volunteer who don't have specific IT expertise, but can help assess situations and problems and see where data and IT can fit.
John explains how communities can set up and use these IT brigades and the types of volunteers necessary to create one.
by following the development of this nonprofit called Code for America, which helps place short-term one-year fellows with cities around the state, around the U.S. And so Charlotte, North Carolina got one, so I followed that development. And then closer to home in Durham, North Carolina, Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill is my area, I got involved through the effort there. So they're not recruited by government. They are set up simply as another volunteer effort. So one part can be people who are concerned about accountability in government and using openness and open data is one way to look at it. In Chicago, there was a specific sort of watchdog group even before the data component. The second area is people who are often called geeks, you know, people who are very deeply into IT, and they like the idea of hacking, creating new things, but this is not bad hacking like the foreign people trying to get our national intelligence. It's what is called white hat hacking, which is using data that is out there for public use and putting it together in interesting ways. So Code for America provides a framework of these kinds of brigades, lots of online material for how you get organized, how you interact effectively with your local government, and how you bring in a variety of skills.
As is the case with any resource decision, local governments need to consider many factors to decide whether a skilled volunteer program like an IT brigade makes sense. John shares some ways you can find these resources for your own community.
For instance, once a year there's something called the National Day of Civic Hacking. Usually happens in the late spring, and that's across a lot of different communities. And so you can get just a flavor of it that way. Secondly, codeforamerica.org includes several applications that you can see and see if it can be useful for you, including descriptions about how, what kind of IT you need. And then the third is looking on their map for brigades, for these groups that are around the whole time, and make contact with them. Most brigades do want to hear from community leaders and local government to say, what are your challenges? How might open data and new applications help reach people in different ways?
You can find out more about Code for Durham at codefordurham.com. In 2008, Fairfax County, Virginia created an enterprise system called the Office of Public-Private Partnerships, or OP3, a clearinghouse for existing partnerships and a central point of contact for businesses and community organizations that want to partner with Fairfax County. We sat down with OP3 Executive Director Patricia Stevens to talk about the role volunteers play in the success of this nationally recognized program.
The Office of Public-Private Partnerships was created to leverage private sector resources and civic interest and to match them with opportunities in the county. We create partnerships with businesses and civic organizations and nonprofits, and we cultivate community connections and to help improve understanding of what the county does. And we engage volunteers in support of county programs and services.
The way Patty describes it, OP3 is almost like a match.com for all the folks that want to get involved and county agencies, local businesses, and organizations who have needs. Here's a little bit more about the system and what's behind it.
We do is serve as a funnel or a point of contact to promote and highlight those opportunities and to match interests on the outside with those on the inside, from corporate volunteer programs, scout troops, civic groups, or sometimes we have national organizations that come to Washington, D.C. area for conferences, and they're interested in getting involved in doing a volunteer activity. There are a number of ways that we engage volunteers to support the work of the county program volunteer coordinators. We found in our work in the first couple of years with the volunteer programs that there were many different levels of capacity and technology tools to support their work. Some were still operating out of an old school notebook or shoebox with index cards with lists of their volunteers, and others had purchased off-the-shelf programs that allowed them a further level of volunteer management and tracking. One of the challenges we had each year was when we tried to roll up and count the contributions of volunteers from across the county. We didn't have the capacity to create an unduplicated and accurate count of the significant contributions of volunteers. So from our side on OP3, we knew that there was an opportunity to improve our reporting and accountability and also build capacity. From the Department of Information Technology's perspective, they were regularly being called on to create new volunteer software systems or to tweak or support or fix off-the-shelf programs that agencies had purchased. And it was in their interest to try to streamline and come up with one countywide system to support the 22 different volunteer programs that were operating in Fairfax County.
Not everyone was thrilled with the new countywide system idea, as Patty explains, but the at times painful process led to some long-term spin-off benefits.
So change is tough. When we introduced the idea to our county volunteer coordinators of creating a master system, an enterprise system to support the volunteer work across the county, there was some concern that they would lose the specific functionality and the unique needs of their particular volunteer programs, because managing an animal shelter program is quite different than managing volunteers in the jail, for example. And so it was a little difficult at first. And those people that had not used technology widely were concerned that they might not have the capability or skills to do that. We were able, however, through this work over the course of about 18 months, to develop a single enterprise system for Fairfax County that meets the needs of 22 different volunteer programs in 15 agencies and that complies with the county's technical requirements. And that was a huge job.
But despite some bumps in the road, the program has created positive and lasting change in the way the county manages volunteers. From creating an amazing volunteer system to being an award-winning volunteer, our last segment tells the story of an ICMA member whose passion for public service took him beyond the borders of his community, and even his country, through ICMA's international program. Last December, Oakley, California City Manager Brian Montgomery received a Volunteer Service Award from the Volunteers for Economic Growth Alliance, or VEGA, for offering more than two decades of pro bono assistance to an ICMA project in Mexico. Brian told Local GovLife how he became involved with the project by being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I was attending an annual conference in Cincinnati, and on my way to a conference session, I overheard somebody speaking Spanish as a Spanish speaker, was listening in to the conversation, and she was speaking to a local government official from Mexico and talking about what ICMA does and this very important task of professionalizing city management. So I kind of turned and I started speaking Spanish to both of them. And I think they saw me and thought, this big gringo also speaks Spanish.
Only a month or two after that conversation, Brian found himself in Mexico making a presentation to a group of mayors about the importance of professional local government management. Progress in promoting professional management in Mexico has been incremental, and policy changes didn't happen overnight.
Much of the work as a volunteer in Mexico has been slow, and the progress is slow. Over time, able to see that each one of those efforts and visits are building up to something better has been very rewarding. In fact, to some degree, since it has taken a long time, it makes it even more rewarding.
Then a funny thing happened in San Luis Potosí.
So this very last visit to Mexico, specifically to San Luis Potosí, which is a state in Mexico, that their state law would provide for cities to have a professional administrator to assist the mayor and city council members in their responsibilities.
But Brian's story is not just about the work he's done with ICMA in Mexico. It's also a great example of how professional city, town, and county managers make a difference in their communities and beyond. But volunteering has an added benefit, as helping others makes a difference in the volunteer's life too. Brian explains.
The passion of a city manager to make the city where he or she works better is entirely consistent with this, these opportunities that we have as volunteers to try to make our communities and these other organizations successful in their missions. And so I feel like I'm just a stronger, more well-rounded person. In fact, I also heard it said that, you know, if you feel down or depressed or stressed, the best way to deal with that situation is to go help somebody else. Once you go help somebody else, which I believe volunteer opportunities do, all of a sudden your own personal stresses and frustrations and perhaps even depression go away.
Of course, one of the biggest barriers to volunteering is finding that time, especially with the nonstop demands of a life in local government service. For Brian, finding that time has made his life on and off the job even more rewarding.
It's often said, being a city manager, much like other professions, is a 24-hour-a-day job. And often I am up in the middle of the night dealing with issues and with late meetings. But some of that time I carve out, the same 24 hours that you have is what I have. And I carve out some of that time to serve in my community as a volunteer. And it certainly only complements and magnifies my capacity as a city manager.
Brian shares some closing advice for any local leader who is considering volunteering.
I would just pass along the advice to other local government managers that that same passion and skill set that you've learned as a manager can be applied internationally and would be of great, and there is a great need and will have a big impact internationally as well as it may have in your individual community.
You can find out more about worldwide volunteering opportunities at icma.org/international. And that's it for this episode of Local Gov Life. Let us know what you think about the ideas that Ed, John, Patty, and Brian shared with us by going to icma.org/episode1 and using the comments section. Subscribe now to the Local Gov Life podcast series and tell a friend about us. Also, be sure to rate us on iTunes and share on social media. We rely on listeners like you to help us grow our audience. I'm Rob Carty. Thank you for listening to this episode of ICMA's Local Gov Life.